Good morning, everybody. Glad you could come today. We have a great topic, I think. We're going to talk about the high calling of the woman in the home. And I'm going to start with a familiar verse to us, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And Gil made a note, that's like present tense, to those who are loving God, to those who are called according to his purpose. First of all, of course, we're called as saints. If you claim to be a Christian woman, a woman who has placed her faith in Christ as her only Savior and Lord, then you are continuing in your love for God, and it's evidence that he has called you to be one of his saints. God's calling always has purpose. Yes, for us to be saved, you know, believers are to please God and glorify him in all that they do. And then for men and women, God has given specific responsibilities that carry out his divine intention in the ones that he created. And this is why we say that our calling is high. It's because God has made it. If a person that you admire and respect, like to be around, asks you to do something, don't we generally agree to help with a willing and generous attitude? Well, how much more should we joyfully agree to go about our life as God commands? Because he's the one who loves us and even gave his son to die for us. After all, it is God who said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." God says, "An excellent wife, her worth is beyond jewels." He said, "Wives, be subject to your husbands. And wives, see to it that you respect your husband." God says, "I want the younger widows to get married and bear children and keep house." And God is the one who tells the older women to encourage the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Well, from the first of the year, we've been studying the providence of God. And so, do we not believe that God is the all-wise creator, knowing the end from the beginning? Do we not believe that he is good and is perfect in his love for us? Do we not believe that he is all-powerful and perfectly capable to care for us as we follow his will in faith? I know we're saying yes, we do believe in that God. Well, God designed us and he has a plan for our lives. And being a home-centered woman is not just one option. Rather, it is the plan of God for women. That is where the weight of Scripture is. It is true that some Christian women are single, and they must work to support themselves. And they don't have the responsibilities of a husband, and so they are free to pursue serving in other ways, and they do that. It's true that some Christian women are married to an unbeliever, and their lives may look a little bit different than the usual Christian women, but those women are living the 1 Peter 3 life, and God, in his goodness and his grace, is right there with them. And there may be a reason for a woman to bring income into her home. And I've just been thinking about that, and I just think we have to put that responsibility with the husband. He is responsible for his home, and he answers to God for what goes on in his home, so we don't have to worry about it. We're just going to let each husband make that decision for his home. So having said that, my goal this morning is to encourage you, to cheerlead you even, to joyfully trust God and the path that he has laid out for you as a homemaker. It is a good path, and it's right, and it bears fruit in this life and eternal rewards in the life to come. And I want to just make a note also. While we often focus on the women in the childbearing years, there is no indication in the scripture that the pattern of life changes when our children leave to establish homes of their own. We still support these extended families and carry on the work of caring for our husbands and our homes. But with that increased time, we can follow the Lord into many other areas of service and kindness as extensions of our home and of our church. An available woman is a valuable and useful tool in the Lord's hands. And I know we have some widows amongst us. You know, you have been relieved of the care of your husband, but you are going to fit into the character and the industriousness of this Proverbs 31 woman that we're going to look at. And the Lord will give you things to do. It's pretty awesome. Well, we are well taught, and it's a little bit hard to know how much to reiterate things, but we know that the roles of men and women were created to complement one another. That woodworking term, dovetail, is such a good picture. We are made to fit into one another to make this unit, and it is a strong unit. And we're familiar with the scriptures and our responsibilities, and I just noted in there on your outline, just for your reference, I'm just going to go through them really quick. You know, how does God intend for the man to spend his time? How does he intend for the woman to spend her time? You know, what fills our days? Well, I wanted to start with all Christians, men and women, and this is just not a short list, but all Christians are called to fear the Lord. All Christians are called to be holy in all our behavior. All Christians are given a gift and are expected to serve in our church. All Christians are to care for the brethren, especially those that are in our local church. And I added a responsibility for husbands and wives, the 1 Corinthians 7, and I add it because it does take thought and time and energy. We are, those that are married, are supposed to fulfill the physical role to one another. And then husbands are commanded by God to lead the home, to be the head of the home, to love their wives and children, to provide for that home, and to protect that wife and that home. And then we wives, we know, to our husbands, we are supposed to give our respect, our submission. We are to be his helper. We are to love him. And then we love and raise our children. And then we are to do the work of the home. Well, as I prepared for this lesson, one verse really stood out to me. And it's Proverbs 31:21. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And I just think this is a fantastic guide as we move forward each day in our responsibilities. And it's also a great standard to evaluate how we are doing. So how does a woman look well to the ways of her household? And I've just listed a few things. For one, she is skilled in her management. She has to manage time, her energy, her resources, and her tasks. And of course, this is going to be a matter of gaining experience and maturity. But from the establishment of her home, she looks, her vision is on her task, and her aim is excellence. She looks well. She's also industrious. The excellent wife heeds Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant and observe her ways. Having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. The wife is the manager of the home. She sets the agenda for the day. Under the authority of her husband, she is self-motivated to do the work that is required. And then she is diligent in her tasks. She keeps moving forward in her steps, sometimes faster, sometimes slower, but she keeps stepping forward. Proverbs 12:27 says, the precious possession of a man is diligence. Even small steps moving forward are better than no steps at all. Well, what hinders a woman in looking well to the ways of her household? Well, one thing would be procrastination, or simply not doing the work of the home. I think we all participate in procrastination. At least I will confess I can do that. But languishing in it, that's what I'm talking about. Languishing in it will result eventually in the failure to do the work of the home. If I drag my feet too long, my responsibility will be left undone. Proverbs 18:9 says, he also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. So I looked up the definition of slack. It's lacking in activity, not busy, moving slowly, or sluggish. Well, no right-minded woman would take a sledgehammer to her own home, unless she's doing a remodel. That might happen. But, you know, you just wouldn't do it under normal circumstances. But if a woman fails to care for the concerns of her household, it will deteriorate over time. That is the sinful world that we live in. It's just what's going to happen. Over time, the husband will lack confidence in his wife and the work that she's doing. Maybe he might even have to pick up some of that work when he comes home from his job. the children, you know, if they're neglected in whatever way, they can become disadvantaged in a variety of ways, in their bodies, in their minds, just due to the mother's sluggish care. A characteristic of one who is slack in her work is perhaps one who only does the things that she likes to do. So I made up an example. Perhaps a woman has a garden and it looks fantastic, but you come into her house and it's a mess, and supper is usually a haphazard affair, only meeting the basic requirements. It seems to take energy to do the things that we don't like to do, but I think we all have things we don't like to do. But how can we get going and be more faithful in those things as well as the tasks that we like better? Well, we could have a whole discussion group about that. I'll just list a couple. I think it's very helpful to make a list. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't need to have a pretty journal. I just do it on a scrap of paper. But if I make a list of the things that are to be accomplished that day and I hold myself to it, it's like I give myself that assignment. That helps me finally get to that thing that I don't really like. If it works, put that thing at the top of the list and do it first. Get it off your mind. The soon as it's off your mind, it's like a gift to yourself, because the rest of the day you don't have to, I have to do that thing. Sometimes it doesn't work to do it first. Maybe dinner is your thing that you just don't get to. Then I say make yourself an appointment. Figure out, if it's dinner, figure out how long it's going to take for you to make that meal. I hope you've planned that meal already. But figure it out, subtract from when you want to eat it, you know, and say, okay, I need to be in my kitchen at 5 o'clock. And then assign yourself and do it. Show up. If you just let it go, your habit is never going to change. So those are just some ideas. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. And that is very true. Another thing that might get us off from looking well to our household is getting distracted from the God-given responsibilities. There are many tasks for a woman in her home, and many are non-negotiable. Preparing food for the family, providing clothing, keeping the house clean and functioning are just some of them. Faithfulness in caring for our husband is also a top priority. There is often time or seasons of time when we can pursue endeavors that enrich the lives of our family. You can buy bread at the store, which is perfectly fine, but you could also spend the time to learn how to bake it yourself. That's pretty great. You can buy a blanket, you can, or you could crochet or knit one or sew one. That's a fun thing. It's just fun to pursue hobbies, take your kids on a field trip, meet ladies to golf, etc., etc. And we can rightly pursue those endeavors because they do provide a richness to life, but we just have to remember that we have to still take care of the needs of our household. So here is our guide and our standard. She looks well to the ways of her household. So whatever endeavor you pursue, it must fit into the excellent care of your home and family. I just think that's a really helpful thing to help us gauge what we should be involved in. Well, how do we guard against getting into lopsided priorities? Well, first, our desire must be to honor the Lord and His Word. And specifically today, the verses that involve our role as women. We must practice caution regarding activities that have a possibility to undermine the work of the Lord. You know, just be careful. And what God calls us to do is not an option. We just have to remember His Word is authoritative in our lives. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look directly ahead of you, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Proverbs 8:32, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. And I like this. Blessed is the man who listens to me. God says that. So we want to make sure we're listening to Him and His Word. Second, as Elizabeth Elliot says, just do the next right thing. If you need to see improvement or you need to change your ways, just start moving in the right direction. It's like steering a car. We continually make adjustments to keep ourselves on the path. Sometimes we have to make big adjustments, but we make those adjustments all along the way. Proverbs 9:6 says, forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. Psalm 119:5 says, "Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes." Keep that correction going, and your ways will be established on God's word. Well, that's the kind of woman I want to be, that woman moving forward in right actions. And that's the kind of woman I want you to be, too. We are learning. We're maturing. It's a knowledge-gaining process for sure. You will gain skill and experience over time. You'll figure out what works in your house. We are all learning, and as an older woman, I can say life is always changing. There's new things to learn. Maybe you don't think if you're raising a young preschool-age kids that life will ever change. But it will, if the Lord tarries. It does change, and so we have to go along with that. But we are in a room here full of ideas and resources and advice. I just think it's one of the great benefits of our Titus Tuesday ministry is that we can be together. And the Lord uses our conversations to encourage and help at just the right time. There's no way we could orchestrate that, but it's happened so many times in my own life. People come and you just talk and then somebody says something and it's just what you needed to hear. Our providential God uses us to help other ladies just as we converse with one another. From our minds and lips can come good. So I hope when you come, you just come with an attitude that you want to be an encouragement to others, and the Lord will surely use you. Well, I made a list of character traits and helping activities of the excellent wife in Proverbs 31. Most of our female role scriptures fit within the descriptions in this list. I think it's kind of cool. So for character, this wise woman, this godly woman is trustworthy. She's intent on doing good to her husband. She is self-disciplined. She is compassionate. She's prudent rather than fearful. She delights in work and it's optimistic. She is wise and teaches kindness. And she fears the Lord. And then I'm saying that she's a helper. You know, all of our activity in our home is really in helping our husband. She searches and works with fabrics for clothing and linens for the home. You may not be manufacturing that fabric. You may. Some people have a cousin who spins wool. But we search for those things that we need for our home that are made out of fabric. She's a hands-on worker. She shops for food, perhaps even special food for her family. She prepares that food for her household. She conducts the business that is associated with her home and family. Through work, she is a strong worker, and her work is satisfying, and she puts in a full day. She does physical labor. She helps the needy. She prepares ahead of the needs of her home. She takes care of her own clothing and appearance, and her prudent diligence is directly related to her husband providing for the family. He's in the gate, so to speak, but he can be there confidently because his wife is handling the things at home. In her industriousness, perhaps she even has enough garments to sell, and she cares for her household well. She is not idle. And I'm just going to add to this list, because this, the Proverbs 31 woman didn't live in the time of the church like we do. Also to that list is her responsibility to her church. That is our spiritual home and family that God gives us to serve. And Nancy's going to have a whole lesson on that, so we can look forward to exploring that a little bit. Women are a vital part of a well-functioning church. So as we follow God's command to love and to submit and respect our husband, he will regard us as trustworthy. So I'm just going to explore those characteristics that the Lord gives us. The trait that keeps us from just merely being an administrative assistant to our husband is love, I think. With our affection and our will, we love him. We consider his interests important. We are his companion through the ups and the downs and the plateaus of life. We enjoy the small blessings and the big milestones together. And we persist in love by responding and behaving like 1 Corinthians 13. One commentator said that in Titus 2, the older women are to encourage the younger women to be husband lovers. Why would the younger woman need to be taught this? Well, anyone who has been married for any length of the time knows the answer to the question. It's because A love within a household is often difficult and it's beset with obstacles. Sometimes those obstacles are in our own hardened hearts. Sometimes those obstacles are due to the faults of the ones that we are called to love. And sometimes it's both. And I'm going to add one more that I've observed. Sometimes it's just circumstances that make loving hard. A crying baby, that's just the wrong time. Trouble or disappointment, discouragement, heartache from living life in this sinful world. It is challenging to remain faithful in love when you'd rather sink into yourself with sadness or despair. So, sometimes love is easy. Sometimes it takes the active obedience of Scripture to get through a rough patch. Every marriage is tested. You know, Satan hates our marriages. Don't you see it coming out in our culture? Against marriage. And we have our own flesh. We all stumble. Yet there is a way of escape from sin every time. But when we do stumble, there is a way back to righteousness. Just start doing the right thing. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and when necessary, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And the husband has been commanded, he is commanded to love his wife, so I will just say, make it easy on him. The husband in Proverbs 5:15 is instructed to rejoice in the wife of his youth, to be satisfied and exhilarated by her love. And we help him by being his willing partner, a loving hind, and a graceful doe. Well, another thing that builds the trustworthy vision of us in our husband's eyes is respect and submission. That flows from the motivation of love. We give our affections to our husband, and we look to him for leadership with the intent to follow. We support him, and he knows it, and because of it, he develops a deepening trust in her. Well, how are we doing with submission? Are your husband's priorities your priorities? Even the little things? Are you willing to work these preferences into your day plan? And how are we doing with respect? Do you respond in love, believing all things? That means giving him the benefit of the doubt. Or do you immediately question your husband's comment or his actions or his decisions? Do you respond as if you are the expert? If so, he may not feel like you respect him. I hope I'm explaining this. I think it's just such a small shift in our attitude, how we respond to him. Our immediate inclination should be to believe what he says. And then listen, listen, listen. That will guard against an arrogant, I think I know better. I think I'm the expert here. It will guard against that attitude if we keep your mouth shut a little bit and listen, listen, listen. Then proceed in a thoughtful way, asking questions or offering additional information in a way that is perceived as helpful by the husband. So that's maybe an idea of how we can be respectful of him. How am I doing when I seek his permission or his approval on something? You know, we want to run things by our husband. I find that if it's something that I really, 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 really want and he might say no, do I give him all the information, you know, laid out clearly? Or do I talk and talk and talk and talk, and if I can just get into Nada's head just a little bit, you know, then I'm good to go. Well, you know, do I accept his answer? Am I willing to accept his answer even if it's no? And even if he doesn't give me a whole list of reasons why? I just got to trust the Lord with these kinds of things. He works in and through our husbands, so I need to be willing to accept what he says, and then by grace, I know by God's grace, we can do that. And what may be no for a season may not be no later. You know, we'll just go with our husband's lead. That's the best policy. Well, the other things that I had in that helping category are things that we do in our home, but they're really to help our husband. We are his branch in the home. Okay, we're going to look at ways that we help our husband. Okay, income. The husband is responsible to provide the income for the family. And 1 Timothy 5:8 has pretty strong wording for the husband, I think. It's God's words. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, that is strong for a husband. So how does the wife support her husband as he provides for the family? Well, one thing we can do right off the bat is to be content with what he provides, thankful for what he brings home. You know, let him do what God has asked him to do and be content with it. And then we can take that income that he brings home and make the most of it by being prudent and thrifty. We're going to extend it as far as it'll go. We can be careful not to overspend because that puts undue pressure on our husband. And through diligent work, we can take care of our home and our possessions so they don't wear out too soon. You know, we can extend the life of the things that we do buy. And then this is one thing. You can be diligent to provide service that would otherwise maybe be hired out. It's not wrong to hire things out. I just think of my husband's coworkers. Most of them have people coming to clean their homes. Well, I'm home. I have time to clean my home, so I can do it, and Todd doesn't have to pay for somebody to do it. Things like that. We can do the service instead of hiring somebody. And I would say in the command for the husband to provide for his home is a hidden gift for the wife. And the gift is the gift of time. Time is our commodity. We have time to take care of the affairs of the household. Since the husband has to spend much of his time providing for the income, the wife can turn, use her ingenuity toward producing a lifestyle that's even better than an additional salary would buy. So we can make the most of what our husband brings home. In 1 Timothy 3:4, there is a command written to those who would be elders, even those who would aspire to be elders and deacons. This is for our men, of course. It says he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. I did mention our management of the home as women, so I just mention it here again. God has given each husband a helper perfectly suited for the home side of his responsibility. His wife has the temperament and tendencies that are designed for this task. While the husband is spending the necessary hours on his vocation, he should have the strong confidence in his wife that she is managing the affairs on the home front. Okay, the upbringing of children. The husband is also commanded in Ephesians 6:4 to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, the wife surely helps in this endeavor. She is with the children the most, and the husband's leadership in this area will provide the structure wherein the wife functions. So wives encourage their husbands to lead in this area by asking them, how do you want this to be accomplished? She brings her insight and her ideas to the discussion, and then the wife wisely guides her children when they are learning to walk and talk and read and reason, and she does it all while teaching them about the Lord and his world. A mother's love is expressed in tender and nurturing care to her children. Sometimes it really is as romantic as it sounds. Reading a good story, giggles and snuggles, and bath time play. But sometimes it's puke in the bed and squabbles that will not stop. It's patience while you teach your child a new skill. It's persistence in spiritual training. It is finding a way to love your child that turned into a teenager. Gil taught about 1 Timothy 2:15. It says that women will be preserved, or fulfilled is another word you could use, through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Children are a blessing of the Lord, and we are to continue caring for them day after day with self-control and faithfulness and love. And Proverbs says the children will rise up to bless her with their returned affections and their words. And then I just have a category of miscellaneous help. Fill in the blank. We help our husbands in many other ways. Whatever his hand is finding to do, we are there to help him. And you will learn to know what that means for your husbands. Some husbands want their wives right here. Some husbands, I don't know, want them inside but bring him tea while he's mowing. I don't know. You'll find out what it means for your husband. Sometimes it means helping him find something in the house. Perhaps he depends on you to keep the schedule. Sometimes it means you need to be his sounding board, or to listen to what he has learned, or to just listen to him talk about his day. We help him serve at church, even if it just means to get yourself and the kids ready and out the door on time so that he can be on time to his ministry. It's very easy to get wrapped up in our own priorities and personal to-do lists. We have those things, but we always must keep our husbands in mind. I have a list of, kind of in my own words, things that we do to pursue excellence in our households. You know, there are basic things that need to be done. But then, since God has given us time, he also allows us to pursue things excellently, and we can bring things into our lives that really enrich that. The wife gives the best hours of her day to the tasks that God has ordained for her. That's a really great privilege. It's just really great that we can do that. She pursues excellence in her tasks rather than settling for mediocrity. And I know some days you just get by. But most of us, there are times when we can pursue a little higher level than that. And the best person to take care of any particular husband or children or house is the wife of the is the wife and the mother of those people. And I just want to add too, when aging parents are in the picture, because they are the husband's responsibility also, that's part of his household, an available daughter or daughter-in-law or granddaughter can elevate their quality of life and help the husband to provide for that part of the house. Okay, I just listed ideas. You guys have your own ideas. You guys are so creative. But I'll just, this will just get the juices flowing and we can talk about it more if you want. You know, we have an opportunity to provide excellent food. There are days for frozen pizza and boxed macaroni and cheese. I totally get that. But it's also great to have the time to pursue cooking from scratch. That's a really enhanced version of having food, I guess. You can learn to bake goods. You can learn to bake with yeast breads or sourdough. Or you can learn to bake cakes and decorate them. You might enjoy gardening, and then you might enjoy learning how to preserve that food through canning and freezing. One benefit personally to a wife, I think, is that we have the time to do our errands perhaps during the day when it's less busy. That just makes things easier. It's a quality of life thing. We have the opportunity to keep our home clean and keep it maintained and organized. When you keep up with those things, it's not such a big chore all the time. So that's a blessing. We can decorate our homes. We can landscape the yard. We can pursue handcrafts like sewing, knitting, crocheting, embroidery, those kinds of things. We can pursue exercise. You know, a certain amount of exercise will make us stronger and more energetic for our tasks. And we can encourage our kids to be active and moving too. We can plan outings or field trips, plan vacations. We can spend time with our friends or the friends of our kids. We can research topics that might help you in your home, in educational areas, or whatever. Some of you are very artistic, and you can pursue those kind of pursuits, painting, building, whatever. Some of you like to shop for secondhand goods. Sometimes you can get more for your money in that way, or more interesting things. That takes time, but that's something that you might have time to do. We can pursue reading and reading with our kids. We can just be a yes person when opportunities come along, whether through church or through ministering to others. It's great to be able to be a yes person. So how are we doing? Are we looking well to the ways of our household? I'm sure you are, and I'm sure we can all keep going and to be encouraged in that. Over days and months and years, we want to build that trustworthy reputation that honors God. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, which means it's short. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Lord, we're just so thankful for your word. It is the light to our path. Thank you that the life that you call a Christian woman to might not fit into the hole that the world is laying out for us. But thank you that we can be sure of your will for us, and we can every day approach it with confidence, the responsibilities that you have given to us. So encourage us with your word. Encourage us as we are together and we visit and talk, and pray that we would stimulate each other to love and good deeds, that we would not neglect doing good, but that we would share what we have, with whatever resource it is, our time, our things, and our money even. Help us to be generous people and generous to serve our family and our own homes. In Jesus' name, amen.